Welcome to Bible Adventures. Help for today, hope for tomorrow.
Jesus is Lord of all. Jesus is Lord of all. No sin is too big, no problem too small. Jesus is Lord of all.
When people dabble in sin and seemingly get away with it, they gain a false sense of security. King David of Israel had arranged the murder of one of his mighty men, Uriah, on the battlefield so that he could hide the fact that Uriah's wife was carrying David's child. David covered up his sin by marrying Bathsheba after her time of mourning for Uriah had passed. Apart from a few servants, the knowledge of David's sin had been hidden from most people in Israel. But God saw it all, and he was highly displeased with David. God sent the prophet Nathan to speak with David about his cover-up in the Bible book of 2 Samuel, chapter 12.
Your Majesty, Nathan the prophet requests an audience.
We mustn't refuse the prophet of God, scribe. Audience granted.
May you live forever, Your Majesty.
I presume you came on a specific mission?
The Lord God of Israel sent me, Your Majesty.
Yes?
Thou, O King, art kind and just and understanding. I wish to relate to His Majesty a story and receive his advice.
Oh, well, say on.
There were two men in one city, O King. The one rich, the other poor. For he had nothing except one little ewe lamb. And the little lamb became a pet to the man and his children. And there came a traveler to the rich man's house, and the rich man prepared him meat. But instead of using one of his many sheep, he took the poor man's pet lamb and slew it and served it to the traveler.
As the Lord liveth, the rich man that has done this thing deserves to die. He shall restore the lamb fourfold to the poor man, because he had no mercy or pity.
You are this man, O King.
I am he, the rich man?
Thus saith the Lord, I delivered you from the anger of Saul. I gave you the crown of Israel and of Judah. If you had needed more, I would have given it to you. Therefore, why have you despised the commandment of God and done evil in his sight? You have killed Uriah with a sword and have taken his wife to be your wife. Now, therefore, the sword shall never depart from your house. Evil shall also raise up against you out of your own house.
I have sinned against the Lord. I must ask God to forgive me.
The Lord will forgive your sin. You shall not die. But the consequences of the sin cannot be undone. Because of this deed, you have given great occasion to the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme. Therefore, the first child born to you and Bathsheba shall surely die. Know this, David. The wages of sin is death. Long live the king.
Scribe, I shall retire to my private chambers. I'm not to be disturbed.
Prophets like Nathan were messengers of God, sent to speak God's word both to individuals and to nations. God sent Nathan to deliver his words of rebuke to David, which took the form of a parable. Nathan told the parable in such a way that David thought the prophet was describing an actual incident. In response to the injustice Nathan told, David responded angrily that the man who'd taken the poor man's lamb deserved to die. Without knowing it, David had actually condemned himself. David further added that the rich man should repay the poor man four times over, as listed in the Law of Moses in Exodus chapter 22. David expressed great pity for the poor man in the parable, but this contrasted greatly to his lack of pity that he'd shown Uriah. Finally, Nathan pronounced to David, "You are the man." While speaking through Nathan, the Lord reminded David of the mercy he'd shown him, as well as the many blessings he'd also given him. How then could David despise God's word by doing such evil? David had disobeyed the Lord, which was the same as despising God himself. Since David had ordered Uriah's death, he personally bore the responsibility for this. And because David had used the sword of the Ammonites to kill Uriah, God told David that the sword would never depart from his house. And indeed, later, three of David's sons died violent deaths by the sword. David realized what a terrible thing he had done and confessed to Nathan that he'd sinned against the Lord. All sin is against the Lord. Saul's failure to acknowledge this may have been a reason why his confession to the prophet Samuel hadn't been considered genuine either. Nathan told David that the Lord, in his grace, had forgiven David and had released him from the death penalty that he deserved to receive. But Nathan now warned David that his child born to Bathsheba would die. Soon after Nathan's pronouncement, the child became very sick. David pleaded with God to let the child live, for the child didn't deserve to die, but God wouldn't change his mind on this point. For 7 days, David fasted as though he was in mourning, hoping that God wouldn't punish the child for his own sin. However, when David heard that the child was dead, he accepted the situation. In his servants' minds, David was doing the opposite of what was expected. Mourning was supposed to take place after someone died, not before. David explained to the servants that when the child died, there was no need for him to continue fasting. Instead of the child returning to him, he would one day be joining the child in the grave. There's a message of comfort here for those Christian parents who have lost a child. They'll meet their child again. Their child has gone on ahead to the place that Jesus has prepared for them. David and Bathsheba had another child, whom they named Solomon. But this time, through the prophet Nathan, God said to name the baby Jedidiah, which means loved by the Lord. This pronouncement indicated that Solomon had been chosen by God at his birth to be the next king of Israel. How different are God's ways from human ways? Why did God choose this baby after all the upset his parents had gone through in the first year of their marriage? David already had many grown-up sons, and he may have already thought that his firstborn son of all his wives would be the heir to Israel's throne. What can we learn from this chapter of the Bible? One lesson is, be sure that your sins will find you out. Do not be deceived. Nothing is hidden from the presence of God. In Proverbs chapter 15 it says, "The eyes of the Lord are in every place, keeping watch on the evil and the good." People may think they've got away with something bad that no one has seen and most people wouldn't make a fuss about. But it's very different with God. Everyone has to appear before God's judgment seats and be accountable for everything they have thought, said, and done here on earth. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and in Romans chapter 14, it speaks of a judgment seat that is translated from the single Greek word bema. This judgment seat is thus called the bema seat of Christ. However, as believers in Christ, this time is for rewards and not a punishment one for judging believers of their sins. That action would be inconsistent with the finished work of Christ on the cross, because Jesus totally paid the full penalty for our sins. The bema seat, then, isn't a place of condemnation for Christians. For in Romans chapter 8 it says, "There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit." While salvation is a free gift from God, there are rewards given to believers for faithfulness in their Christian life, as well as a loss of rewards for unfaithfulness. Rewards become one of the great motives of the Christian's life, or should be. No person can earn their way to heaven by doing a lot of good deeds, but once a person has been saved by trusting in the Lord Jesus cleansing away of their sin, that person is expected to grow in their love for God, the Lord Jesus, their neighbors, and even their enemies. There should be a noticeable change in the new Christian's life, and particularly in their attitudes and daily living for God's glory. The time of the Bema judgment seat follows immediately after the rapture, where the believers are caught up to be with their Lord, and includes their receiving new glorified bodies as described in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. While the raptured believers in Christ spend time in heaven with the Lord Jesus, back on earth, the Bible predicts there will be wars, the emergence of a terrible Antichrist who will take control of world affairs, and a third Jewish temple built on the Temple Mount in Jerusalem, which the Antichrist will desecrate and mercilessly persecute the Jewish people. At the end of this 7-year tribulation period, the Lord Jesus will return to earth with his beloved bride, and he will stop the war raging against the Jewish people at that time. Christ's second judgment is called the Great White Throne Judgment in Revelation chapter 20. Every non-Christian will stand before God and be judged for what they did and didn't do while on earth. Then God's book of life will be opened, and anyone's name not found in that book will be thrown into the lake of fire forever and ever as a just payment for their sins. These people treated Jesus' sacrifice for their sin lightly and never took up his offer of forgiveness. Some of you may think that God's judgment to hell is too harsh. But in Romans chapter 8 it says that God did not even spare his own dear son, but gave him up for us all. We need to think very seriously about this, because once we die and enter into the afterlife, we can't change our destination. But you can decide right now where you'll spend eternity, for once you die, there will be no more possibility of change. This is why we need the Lord Jesus as our Savior, because we're not good enough to meet God's perfect standards. We need help. Our sinful state that we're born with traps us into eternal separation. Jesus, however, came to earth as God in human form, and he satisfied the righteous demands of his heavenly Father, whom we have all offended through our sin. When Jesus died on the cross, he took hold of his holy Father with one hand, and with the other hand, he took hold of sinful humanity. He died there in our place. That is why Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ alone, is our only way to heaven. God has dropped one lifeline from heaven, and it is Christ himself. Heaven is only for forgiven people. And what do forgiven people in Christ look like? The Lord Jesus, in his Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 5, was proposing that those who live in God's forgiveness and power are to depend on God instead of being proud, independent, and selfish, be gentle and humble instead of arrogant, be merciful instead of cruel, be pure instead of corrupt, be peaceful instead of quarrelsome, accept persecution without retaliation, and search for God's ways rather than selfish pleasure. Imagine a world without pride, cruelty, corruption, quarrels, wars, and selfish pleasure-seeking. These are all man's ways of living life independently to God. But God's ways for people are full dependence on him, humility, mercy, purity, peacefulness, forgiveness, and acceptance. These are not just the ways of God, but the ways he expects people as individuals to live by with the enabling of his Holy Spirit. Each person who has asked the Lord Jesus to be the Lord of their life knows that they still sin at times. Christians won't be completely perfect until they meet Jesus in the rapture. Sometimes Christians need to learn how to forgive themselves for something awful that they've done in their past and then live in the joy of the Lord. Such gladness of heart is evidence of the Holy Spirit working in our lives, and even in spite of difficult circumstances, we can experience joy in daily living. If you don't have a Bible, but you have a smartphone, you can download for free a copy of the Bible onto your phone. Bible Gateway and PrayerMate are two apps you can try to download. As there are different types of phones, if you have any trouble doing this, ask someone you know to do an internet search for a Bible app that is suitable for your phone. But be aware there are nearly 40 translations available, and caution is recommended.
The drama is from the Bible in Living Sound. You've been listening to Bible Adventures, and I hope you'll join me again next time.